I want you to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 28, and I'm going to try to really, really move along, because the longer I worked on this, the more material I found, and it's practical, but I just don't want to keep you here all night, so I want to move right along. Acts chapter 28, I want you to find verse number 1, Acts 28, verse number 1, we've been talking about the subject of helping people. This is lesson number 18. 18 weeks in a row now, we've talked about the subject of helping people. Acts 28, verse number 1. Stand with me, if you will, please. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently, starting with Acts 28, verse number 1. And it says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Mylia. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, who, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said that he was a god." And let's pray. Father, bless the sermon. Holy Spirit of God, the simplicity of the sermon tonight is necessary, because it seems, Father, that you didn't make the Christian life hard. Just obeying, that's what we're supposed to do. Help the sermon tonight to help us be better Christians and to help people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. We've been talking about this thing of helping people. The sermon tonight is entitled, Helping People by Being Kind. Helping People by Being Kind. Paul and the soldiers who had taken him captive, in this story, they suffer shipwreck. They end up swimming to shore, and the people there, according to verse number 2, they get to shore, and the people there are barbarous. They're barbarians. And look what Paul says about those barbarians. It said there in verse number 2, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." Now, the Bible's worded in a way that matched the culture at that time. This does not mean that they didn't show him kindness. It means that the kindnesses were not little. And what's the opposite of little? Big. Said they showed us no little kindness. It is in reference to the fact that he felt like they were showing him big kindnesses, meaning their kindness was vast. In verse number 2, it says, "And they received every one of us." In other words, Paul and these men had suffered shipwreck. They swam to shore. When they got to shore, they were surrounded by barbarians. But they were amazed, because these barbarians end up receiving them. It says, "Received every one of us." Everybody on the ship, they took them in. And they didn't show them little kindnesses. They showed them big kindnesses. The barbarians, and you know what's amazing? The barbarians had enough sense to show kindness to people they didn't even know. And the Bible says they were barbarians. It's sad when barbarians behave better than Christians do. Nehemiah 9, verse 17 says this of God, "Thou art a God of great kindness." Now, the great people helper is God. The great people helper is Jesus. The great people helper is the Holy Spirit. And with those three, our triune God, all wrapped into the Godhead, with those three being our example, that means you and I, we're not to be people of little kindness, but we're to be people of big kindness, and we're to be people of great kindness. So why? You might say, well, why, Pastor? Why should you and I be kind? Well, one reason is because of his kindness toward us. God has been so kind to us. You say, but there are people that I don't think I ought to be kind to. Well, if you want to compare you to God and them to you, you know, let me explain. If God can be kind to you, then I would think you could be kind to another human being, because God's holy and perfect. And when a holy, perfect God can be kind to me and you who are imperfect people, then imperfect people ought to be able to share kindness with imperfect people. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Sad that you have to say something like this, but did you know you don't have to be a jerk to be a fundamentalist? You don't. You don't have to be a jerk to be a fundamentalist. We do not apologize for the truth. But nor should we be continually apologizing for our rudeness. So I don't apologize for the truth that I preach, but I shouldn't have to apologize for my demeanor, and I shouldn't have to apologize for the way I handle people and things. I think all of us need to learn to stand for right the right way. Our society anymore in general is pretty rude. It's a sad, sad thing. You know, I think kindness is something that when you and I show kindness, it's a revealer of love. God has a word in the Bible. He calls it loving kindness. Loving kindness. They're attached. And a lack of kindness, I think, equals a lack of love. I think the presence of kindness means the possibility of the presence of love. I think loving kindness preserves people. It preserves people. It helps them to last. Listen to Psalm chapter 40, verse number 11. It says, "Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Did you know that you last because of God's loving kindness? That's why you last. That's why there's preservation in your life. And I'm talking about the preservation of the good part of your life. That's the result of the loving kindness of God. Well, you know that if God expresses loving kindness toward me and that preserves me, if I show loving kindness toward you or toward you or toward you or toward you, did you know loving kindness might help preserve you too? I can hang in there because of God's loving kindness. Did you know something? If that loving kindness helps me to hang in there, maybe you could hang in there if I'd express loving kindness toward you. And if you'd express it toward somebody else, maybe they could hang in there. And that's what it said. It said, "Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." People last longer in church when church people practice loving kindness. People don't last as long in a church where people, the absence of loving kindness. Now, this sermon doesn't get any more complicated. It gets even more simple. I believe if you and I are truly wanting to do the right thing, we're going to want to help people. So what does that mean? If we're going to want to help people, we need to express loving kindness or kindness. So let me start out by saying this. First of all, I'm talking about kindness in general, let's say, around the church. The Bible says in Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Here's talking about being affectionate. It's talking here about showing preference to the other person, putting your feelings aside and preferring, maybe what they prefer. And in here, we're not talking about biblical conviction. Look, in the parking lot, don't race to take a parking spot away from somebody else. Y'all are giggling. But just prefer somebody else. That's just a good way to be gracious. Is that we're not talking about conviction. I have a conviction about the King James Bible. I'm not changing that. I'm talking about when it comes to things that just around as we're walking around and living around one another, just prefer the other person. My pastor used to have a radio broadcast, and every day he ended it with these words. He would say, "Be kind to everyone, because everyone's having a tough time." And you don't know. You know, you look at someone and they're smiling, and you think, "Wow, look at that. They're doing well." You don't know what's going on in their heart. And just be kind to everyone. Hey, shake hands with people and speak when spoken to. And let me tell you this. Some people, you think speaking is grunting. Somebody says, "Hey, good to see you tonight." Well, you a caveman or what? You know, no. Speak, smile, sing, compliment people. You know, there's nothing wrong with telling someone something positive. And remember, we've talked about this before, just not long ago. Introduce visitors and seek out the visitors. Hey, we have two adult Sunday school classes right now. Eventually, we'll get a third and then a fourth. I never want the adult Sunday school classes to be fighting and fussing over people to the point where it hurts people. Now, I like the idea of adult Sunday school class thinking they're a good class and that they want other people to be a part of that class. There's nothing wrong with that appropriate loyalty, but our ultimate loyalty is to Jesus. And you want peace in the church. You don't want a bunch of adult Sunday school classes fighting and being rude and visitors saying, man, you know, they yanked my arm off trying to drag me two different directions for Sunday school. What are we talking about? Just kindness in the church. Hey, if somebody's not in church, care. Serve each other. Open the door. Carry boxes. Answer questions. Congratulate new members. Hey, learn to say please and thank you. And yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And excuse me, and may I? People used to talk that way. Now, if you're polite, they look at you and think, what's wrong with this person? Don't they know how to be rude? So, first of all, kindness in general around the church. And I'm talking about our church. You know, you might think that there's some mystical thing about what creates a revival in a church. These Wednesday night sermons they're telling you. It's treating people God's way. Everybody's looking for someone to treat people God's way. And if Christians would treat people God's way, this old world would be in such better shape. Secondly, let me say to those of us those of you that are greeters, but let me remind you of something. We have some assigned greeters, but everybody's a greeter. But to assign greeters, let me remind you, Psalm 84:10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Ah, boy, that's a wonderful thing. One day at church should be better than 1,000 days anywhere else. Hey, greeters, be careful. Don't be so busy fellowshipping with one another that you ignore people coming in the building. You see, your greeters are people that are friendly people. But if you're not careful, those friendly people are so friendly with each other, they forget to be friendly with the people that are coming into the church. Hey, greeters, I like this one. Watch your breath. Watch your breath. You say, why? Well, you're the first impression people get of us. And if they drop over dead from the smell, it's not a good thing. Brother Andrews, take care of that. Greeters, don't forget to shake hands. Don't forget to smile. Don't forget to open that door. Don't forget the whole attitude of those greeters. And one day we'll have more greeters. And one day we'll have parking lot attendants. And let me tell you what I like, and I think what the Lord likes. We're just here to serve people. We're just here to serve people. And when people come on the property, it's all about, what can I do for you? How can I help you? That's the right thing for a church. Again, trying to help a visitor find their Sunday school class or showing them the nurseries or not being so busy talking to our friends. And that's something we all have to be careful of. We love our church family. We're connected and we're very much like a family. But be careful that you're not so busy enjoying your family member, someone new that might need some family too, some church family gets ignored. No, we never want visitors to feel like they're snubbed when they come in. Learn, call them by name. And hey, especially, you know, never be standing around gossiping and things like that. You know, visitors pick up on that sort of stuff. It's not hard for them to understand it. Hey, and when you see people coming, greeters, and we don't have any problem. I don't have to preach to our greeters. They do their job. They do it well. But I've been at churches. Of course, if you've traveled like I have, I've been to a lot of churches, and I've seen a lot of things. I've stood at the back watching greeters make comments about people coming across the parking lot that I thought, if those people knew what that person just said about them, they would turn around, go get in their car, and drive off and never come back here. And I think we don't want to send that kind of a signal. Yeah, you don't want to send that kind of a signal. It's an attitude of, we want you to be here. We want you to be a part. And so, in general in church, we need to be kind. As greeters, we want to be kind. Hey, nursery workers, let me recommend something to you. Be kind. Be kind as a nursery worker. Proverbs 31:26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. If you are a nursery worker, let me tell you something. You need to smile. You need to greet folks. You need to learn mom's name. And if you need, learn dad's name and use the child's name. If a child's not feeling well, take that into account. Let me tell you, the way you treat people's children means an awful lot to people. So nursery workers, leave the bad attitude at home. Leave it at home. Don't develop a bad attitude. Hey, don't develop a bad attitude towards someone's child. You say, that child's a brat. Well, maybe you are too. Maybe that's how we feel about you. But we need to leave that attitude at home. Why? You're there to help. You're there to help. And I can tell you, there's many a mom. There's many a mom that bring children in, drop them off at the nursery that can't wait. They can't wait. Why? There's a little reprieve there. And honestly, and I know I'm being a little funny, but I'm being a little factual at the same time. And there are moms, some of you, I can remember back, you know, when we would try to get four kids ready, and by the time you got the fourth ready, the first one lost their shoes again, and we never came to church totally dressed. I mean, there's always a shoe gone, a sock gone, you know. Well, there are times when everybody had their Bible or somebody else's Bible, or they were ripped in half because they were struggling over them in the back seat trying to divide it up equally among themselves. And I'm telling you, when a parent comes in, and if a nursery worker already has an edge on them, you have not helped. You flat out have not helped, because that parent needs to see a smiling face and to know that they're going to be received well and their children are going to be received well. Go the extra mile. Hey, and nursery workers, when it's a new baby, look, that mom doesn't know you. They don't know you from Adam. They need a little extra attention. They need to know that you're going to treat them right. They're turning their baby over to you. And when they bring that baby in, you know, just about every parent that comes to church for the very first time, they look at the nursery, they look at the auditorium, they look at the nursery, they look at the auditorium, and they're thinking, I want to keep my baby with me, and I see why they don't know us. Obviously, we have a policy. We want the baby in the nursery, and that way it doesn't disrupt in here. But what I'm telling you is nursery workers stop and realize they're not used to it. They don't know us. Let's give them a reason to believe in us and to trust us and to think, hey, this is a good thing. Anytime you're dealing with people's children, hey, and parents, let me tell you something. Parents, be reasonable with the nursery workers. You have to be reasonable with them. Now, I want the nursery workers to treat the parents and the children well. But you sometimes need to say to the congregation, treat the nursery worker well. You know, if you give a nursery worker a schedule that has something new that you want done with your child every 2 minutes for the next 2 hours in a row while they're watching your child, they might not have time to take care of the other kids. I hate it when it gets that quiet in here. But what I'm telling you is, what are we looking for? We're looking for kindness. Kindness makes people last, and kindness is a preserver of good things. There ought to be kindness in general in the church, and kindness as we greet people, and kindness as nursery workers. Hey, ushers, can I recommend to you kindness? Kindness. Psalm 45, verse 7, the Bible says, Thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. The oil of gladness. Ushers, make sure you're shaking hands and smiling. Help people find seats and introduce them. If you bring them in and set them by somebody, don't be afraid to say, hey, that seat right there, that person right there, that's Mike Armstrong, and I want you to meet Mike and introduce them. And why? We're supposed to be kind. They ought to be made to feel like they're a part of this thing, a little bit of small talk. Don't be too busy fellowshipping usher that you don't help. And we're going to work a little more making sure we have some appointed ushers for every service, because I want to tell you something, and I just want you to know, there's often I'll watch people walk in and I worry about somebody new coming in and not being able to find a seat. Of course, you all know the seat situation. Every time I get more seats, we fill them up. But there are times I worry, and I'll see Brother Nofsinger is busy somewhere seating someone, and I worry that somebody that just walked in, they don't know where to go. They look at this full house, and they're going, if I could run right now, I would run, because I don't know where to sit. So I've got to get some ushers back there that are aware of that, so they shake that person's hand and say, hey, let me get you a seat. And hey, and I wish, I believe this, I think we have some people in here that have good enough attitudes that someday an usher might need to come and say, hey, I need a couple seats together and I can't find them. Would you maybe move over here so I can put these people in here because they're fresh and they're new? Oh, that attitude is very refreshing. You know, while we're waiting to figure out what we're going to do about a bigger building, I don't want to stop growing. You don't want to lose the momentum of revival. You want to keep going forward. But to do that, there's got to be kindnesses shared. Ushers, learn the names of people if you can. And when seating them, let me tell you something. Help people with the seating, you know. Bring them in and say, listen, let me show you where to go. I would not stand back there and grunt and point.
See that dumb-looking guy? Sit there. Go right there. Sit right there. Tell him to move.
That's not good ushering. It's not good ushering. Hey, and thank people for coming. Ushers, kindness. Kindness. Be alert and aware. Not only that, bus workers and bus captains, kindness is very important. You represent us. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. A bus captain position is a big position, and a bus worker position is a big position, and it takes a lot of love to do it right. And remember, kindness is a sign of love. And here's what you deal with, bus workers, bus captains. You get some people on the bus that are not trained real well. You know, there are some people that, you know, when you tell them it's time to sit down and be quiet, they understand that. There are others, sitting down and being quiet is not something they're asked to do very often. And so you got to watch how you handle yourself. Now, I don't think that we ought to let things get out of hand, and I don't think people are supposed to be rebelling and swinging from the chandeliers and everything, but I do think kindness goes a long way in the bus ministry. Let me give you the right attitude about a bus worker and a bus captain. You're there to serve people. And even rules are serving people. It's keeping people safe. Look. If we get kids home late some Sunday, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let the parents know you apologize if they get home a little late. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying, I'm sorry, it took us a little longer at church today than usual. Hey, bus workers, I'll tell you something that might help. Do you know that the parents let their kids come when they ride a bus? What would be wrong with going to a parent and saying, listen, I was thinking about it this week. I just want to thank you for letting your son and daughter ride our bus. It means a lot to us. Just to thank you. And boy, if you ever have to report, let's say little Joey was being bad, and you just know you need to tell mom that Joey was a little disruptive today, I would stay away from using words like punk and brat. The devil incarnate, little Beelzebub, little Lucifer. Those things are not taken well by parents. Now, they can call their kids anything they want, but you can't. But just kindness, no name calling, and I'll remind all of you, we never, never physically restrain or grab a child. We don't do that. You just don't do that. So what are we talking about? Kindness in the bus ministry. Kindness as bus captains and workers, kindness in the nurseries, kindness as we're greeting, kindness as ushers. And then, may I say, here's one that's a little more difficult. Learning to be kind to the unkind. Learning to be kind to the unkind. Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You need to keep yourself tender-hearted. Don't, folks, could I recommend that you not on purpose antagonize unkind people? Some people say, they've just got a way about them, and then the people around become a little antagonistic toward that person. It's like teasing a mad dog. See how close you can get, take off running, so they come after you, and then their chain chokes them up against the doghouse. You shouldn't be treating people that way. If people are unkind, you ought to be kind. I don't know how many of you grew up hearing mom say, my mother would say, why did you hit your brother? Well, the best reason is because he hit me. And my mother would say, you don't always have to do that. And the word always justified the next time around because I wasn't sure this was the time for it or not. But I'm just telling you, when people are unkind, learn to be kind. Look, don't be like them. And you're going to find this out. Most of the time, unkind people are hurting people. Most of the time. So now what are we saying? I'm saying let's be kind. Let's be kind with the unkind. Hey, I'm going to teach you a little something about even learning how to kindly handle gossips. And some of you are gossips. And some of you, I have handled you kindly. I've in my own way come around and said, you ought not be talking about this or about that. And you say, oh, I didn't know it. I know you didn't know it. That's how I'm supposed to handle it. If you're too dumb to catch it, that's your issue. But I tried to kindly take care of it. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Gossiping tongues can be stopped. You say, how? By eliminating ears. You know, if someone feels you will listen to gossip, it's a slap to your Christianity. They feel you're weak. I just don't have a lot of people coming to me saying, let me tell you something about somebody else. They don't do that because they're afraid that I'm going to put them in their place. And today, the amount of gossip that goes on Facebook and in emails and texting, oh my, and you think because nobody sees it, it's not happening. Well, sure, it's happening, and God's seeing it. There are some kind ways. You have to kindly express courage when you're wanting not to hear gossip. If somebody tries to talk about something that's not your business and that you shouldn't be involved in, all you have to do is say, please, let's not talk about that. They wonder if they keep going, then leave. That's all you have to do is just leave. You don't have to punch them in the head. You don't have to get them in a headlock. Just please, let's not talk about that. And if somebody ever has to say something like that to you, grow up and repent. And why not say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have been talking like that. All you do is you kindly say something like this. I prefer not to hear that. Let's change the subject. And I'll tell you what, some of you have friendships with people that you're not bold enough to say, I'd prefer not to listen to that. Then I'd stop the friendship. Or this, I'm sorry, that's not my business, so I'd rather stay uninvolved. It's that simple. Now, I'm educating you on how to. Did you know that if someone gets a little bit of a loose tongue, they don't have to end up getting driven out of the church because they just become this vicious viper that's destroying everything? If it's just handled properly, and so you all know, everybody's guilty of it sometimes. Let me say it again. Everybody is guilty of some gossip sometimes. Everybody. But everybody doesn't have to be driven out of the church, though, if people would just learn how to politely take a stand. Now, if you try and you try and you try and somebody is just being foolish and somebody just keeps rattling at the mouth, somebody may have to, the Bible says, it says, smite the scorner that the simple will beware. That may be that if you've tried and 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 tried politely and they won't listen, there's, you know, the Bible talks about that the, let's see, oh, well, in Proverbs, it talks about virtually growling at the backbiter. And some of you need to practice your growl just a little bit. But again, what I'm trying to tell you is, I think even there is a kindness that can be toward a gossip where you can shut it down and take away the ear, but you don't have to hate them. You don't have to attack them. There's a right way of handling it. Next, I think there's a kindness that ought to be expressed with backslidden people who are coming back to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And you ought to be kind to the people that are trying to come back to God. You know, my experience is that people that are trying to come back to God, usually their biggest fear about coming back is not God. It's people. And how they will be treated by people. When you see people that are coming back toward God, you might want to realize that could be you, and you'd want somebody to be kind to you and give you a chance to come back to God. When you see people that you think, oh, maybe they've not been in church in a while, they're coming back to God, or we see maybe they walk the aisle and rededicate their life, greet them. You don't have to be afraid of them, but don't go overboard in your greeting. You say, overboard, like what? Well, they're coming across the parking lot, haven't been in church for years, and you say, well, look who's here! That's exactly what they were afraid you were going to say. And that humiliation makes them feel like, I don't even know why I came. Don't say things like, watch out, the roof may cave in. Look at him. He's back in church. Or, hey, brother, long time no see. Oh, you just made him feel wonderful. Or, look what the dog's drug in. You got to use your brain. And if you don't have one, just borrow the principles of the Bible. And when somebody wants to come back to God, boy, let them. I'll tell you when that's going to be important to you. It's when it's your daughter that's trying to come back to the Lord, and you finally convinced her, or your son, or your husband, or your wife, or your good friend, and this is big. It's really big to you. You've worked and prayed and pleaded with God and them. And then some dingbat receives them in a way that is not kind. You say, well, what do you say? Well, you sincerely and simply, without making a bunch of fanfare, say, I'm glad to see you. And you know what? I say that to everybody all the time anyway. Let the past be the past, and let's get on with it. Let me give you something else. Sunday school teachers, watch your kindness. Kindness in Sunday school. 2 Timothy 2:24, it says this, and speaking of teaching, be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. There's a gentleness that has to be a part of the teaching and successful teaching. There's a kindness that can be expressed as a Sunday school teacher by visiting your absentees. Let me recommend to everybody in here that you're careful not to embarrass your students by the way you illustrate and some of your teaching. Look, let's say, and I we don't have any of this, so I think this fits without being hurtful as an illustration. Let's say you teach a teenage class. And may I recommend that if somebody in your teenage class was expelled from school a week ago, that you not get up and give an illustration about how dumb it is to get expelled from school. You ever had someone kind of go after you and almost target you like that? And especially if they're trying to humiliate you. Now, sometimes you're going to feel under conviction because you're supposed to. But what I'm telling you is, as a teacher, there should not be an animosity and an attack going on. The people that you teach, when you tell them the truth, they ought to know you love them. They ought to know that. So Sunday school teachers, watch the kindness in class. I'm not against you teaching strongly. Nothing wrong with that. But the truth is, it is a teaching class, and then you have a preaching service, and they're not exactly alike, though I would not hinder you from teaching strongly. But you're going to find out, usually it's the pastor's place to do the hardest of the preaching and teaching in a church. That's just the wise thing, because he was ordained, picked of God to do that. But kindness, you know, I think one of the greatest kindnesses a Sunday school teacher can express is visiting the class. And folks, I never want us to develop this attitude. Let's never just go visit the bus kids and forget about the drive-in elements kids. You know, everybody's kids need a visit, and everybody's kids need some loving from their Sunday school teacher. You might say, well, their parents are in church all the time. Yeah, but their parents are in church all the time because they want the church's help. They want people to love their kids and to teach their kids, and they want people to influence their kids. But that's a kindness. Learn your students' names. That's a kindness. And when you discipline, discipline in kindness. I have, through the years, it's been my responsibility. I've led colleges and high schools, and I've led churches and ministries, and I've had to discipline a lot. I don't think there's anybody that could say that I disciplined in hatred or revenge. When I discipline, my heart is broken. I do not like discipline. I'm not afraid to discipline. And I don't embarrass people with my discipline. That's not my intent. My intent is to fix and to correct things. But learn to do that. That's something, that's a kindness that you can be responsible for. Hey, I wish we'd all learn some kindness about our telephones. Our telephones. Hey, when you answer your phone, can people hear the smile in your voice? Through the years, when I have gotten receptionists to work in my ministries, there was something I was seeking. You ever talk with someone on the phone and you thought, wow, their smile has got to be bigger than their head. And you can't even see them. there are some people that can be pretty rude with a phone. So I'm recommending in kindness that there be a certain phone etiquette. That goes back to turning your phone off during church so it doesn't interrupt, and off during a wedding, and off during a funeral, and not texting during the youth meeting, and not texting while you're driving the church vehicle. I try to use a propriety with my telephone. If I call you, in most cases, I'll say, is this a good time for you? I may shoot someone a text and say, could you receive a call at this time? And so, you know, that's not just for those of you that would be general members of our church. I've had hundreds and hundreds of employees, and even with my own employees, I've always exercised a certain propriety where I wanted to be kind. Now, as a boss, I had the right to say, we're going to talk now. But I would like to only use that when it is dogmatically necessary. And I'd like to respect other people's time. But what I'm trying to tell you is, with our telephones and the way we receive people, there needs to be a kindness. Then I think we need to have kindness to people who do not understand our standards and our separation teachings and the philosophies of the Bible. The Bible talks about, says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Well, we believe in separation from the world. We believe in it. But you have to realize something, that the lost won't and can't totally understand separation from the world. And you can't expect them to understand it. So you have to be careful how you handle yourself with them. Be cautious with your conversations as to not discuss with them things that they obviously won't understand. I've watched a lot of Christians make a mistake by discussing separation issues with people that are lost. And because they're lost, they don't have the Holy Spirit. And when you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand separation. So avoid those. You say, well, what am I going to talk to them about? Try Jesus. Talk about heaven and let's get them saved. One of my statements I grew up preaching, let's get them saved before we try to get them shaved. In other words, if they look like a mongrel out of a trash can, the first thing I need to do is get them born again. And then I can help them to clean their life up a bit. I believe a church with old-fashioned Bible-based separation is going to need a ton of kindness to balance it all out in the minds of people. The pastor that mentored me, that trained me, he could preach up a storm, thunder aloud, and call the roll. But I sat close enough to him on the platform to see the tears escaping his eye while he did it. And he preached hard on sin, but he loved hard. He loved people. And I think if we're going to have a church that sticks with the old-time way, we also need to have our roots deep in the love of God and a kindness. We believe differently even than a lot of the religious world because they have become so liberal in their belief. We've got to learn how to be good to people. Folks, we're going to be criticized where they're going to say, they're straight-laced and they're against this and against that. Yes, we are. But it ought not be said that they're mean and antagonistic. It ought to be said they may be straight-laced, but they're some of the best, loving, kind people you have ever met in your life. That will help counterbalance the sting of a loudmouth, overbearing, obnoxious, call-the-roll, preach-hell that's hot kind of a preacher. And if you want that kind of a preacher, you got to help me counterbalance it so they don't think we're just a bunch of tyrants. What is that? It's a kindness. There ought to be kindnesses when we correct. The Bible says if we go to correct somebody, make sure it's seasoned with kindness. It says in Psalm 141, verse 5, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. Now, here, it says, when the righteous corrects me, it helps me. Folks, when you correct in the church, Sunday school teachers, bus captains, leaders, when correction happens in the church, correction's not supposed to be an attack. You know what I have to do? If I want to attack in my correction, I need to go calm down before I correct, because that's not proper correction. Correction is disciplining. Is getting something under control and helping it. It's not trying to destroy something. Did you know that sin was paid for on the cross of Calvary? You say, well, I disciplined my child, and I took it out of their hide. You're not supposed to take it out of their hide. Sin was taken out of the hide of Jesus Christ. Your discipline is to give them direction, to help them to know the difference between right and wrong, and that wrong may bring discomfort, but it is not for the payment of sin. That was paid for on Calvary. Don't make correction personal. If it gets to the point where, I've just had it with them, and you're stewing over it, that's not how it's supposed to be. Don't be rude. If you could all learn this, it'll help you with people. It'll help people. Discipline with dignity. Dignity. Learn to discipline your children with dignity. Not berating, degrading, not humiliating, not trying to destroy and beat down. No, there's a dignified way to correct. That's the absence of name calling. And I'll tell you what else you need to do. If you all learn, when you discipline, turn around after the discipline, reconnect, and make sure they know that you still love them. There are times when I've had to correct someone, and they sit and stew for a moment, but I always reach out. I always reach out and say, now you know I love you. And I'm your friend. That's not changed. But I need to correct you. See, I don't correct because I'm good. I correct because he's good. And he said to correct. That's why. And folks, let me recommend that you never make anybody wrong all the time. You know, sometimes it's you. And they're not wrong all the time. Okay, let me give you a couple more and we're done. Hey, learn kindness toward the lost. Learn kindness. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I go back to don't argue standards with the lost. When you're soul winning, learn to be kind. You basically, in soul winning, you win them to you, and then you get a chance to win them to the Lord. Because if you're an old goat and a jerk and you're out soul winning and you present the gospel, they're rejecting Jesus because of the representative. And I ought to be a good representative of Christ. If they remember this, if they reject Jesus when you present the gospel, that doesn't mean that they have rejected you. But you need to be kind to them. I've always believed this. I need to leave the door open for somebody else to witness to that person. And if I've left them with such a raunchy taste in their mouth that they are not going to listen to anyone again, I've really hurt them. And so, kindness toward the lost. And then finally, let me tell you this, and I'll be done. I think you need to learn, and all of us need to learn to have kindness toward other churches, especially those of like faith. I try to get along with other independent fundamental Baptist churches. I want to get along with them. So you understand, I don't think it's proselyting when you go after people that are going to a church that don't believe the Bible and they're not getting people saved and they're not right with God. That is not proselyting to me. That's doing God and them a favor. But other churches of like faith, another independent fundamental Baptist church in this town that believes right, I don't go after their members, not trying to go after their members. I want to get along with their pastor, and I'd like to see our people get along with their people and their people get along with our people. I have some policies. Many of you have heard them over and over again. Many of you have experienced them. I don't counsel other people's members without that pastor's permission, nor am I going to start. If somebody comes to visit our church and they go to another independent fundamental Baptist church in this town, did you know that I don't go visit them and try to talk them into joining my church? They sometimes think I'm rude. They think, well, why aren't you coming after me? I'll tell them, I'm not coming after you because you're a member of another church. Then they're almost terrified when I say, and your preacher needs to know that you were here. No, but people could stand and testify. And I don't do it rudely. I don't do it curtly. I'm not trying to hurt them. But I want to be ethical. I want to do it right. I happen to believe that it's probably not a good idea to start a fundamental Baptist church right in the back door of another good fundamental Baptist church. Spread them out a little bit. Be ethical with one another. I think that's a smart thing to do. You will find, and I work very hard at this, if you ever come to me and want to tell me what bad's going on in some other fundamental Baptist church in this town, I'll tell you that's not my business. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to be involved in it. And it's not because I don't care. It's because that's not my business. And we all love the fact that we go to an independent fundamental Baptist church and everybody wants to stick their nose in everybody else's business. I don't agree with that. I think it's wrong. So I don't put my nose in theirs. And you say, well, I wonder if they put their nose in yours. I can't make everybody practice my ethics, but I can practice my own. I can practice the ones that I think are laid out in the Scripture. You know what I do? I go around everywhere trying to get members of fundamental Baptist churches being loyal to their pastor and loyal to their church. I think that's what we're supposed to do. Hey, if you travel the nation like I do, I'll go somewhere to preach and someone say to me, hey, could I talk to you for a minute? Anytime they want to talk to me and whisper and pull me off in the corner, my old radar goes up immediately. And they'll say, could I ask you about this, something my pastor? And I'll say to him, I'll say, now listen, if you're about to say something negative about your pastor, if you want, you and I can go talk to him about it right now. And usually they change their tune right then and there. I say, I know your pastor, and he's not a perfect man, but he loves the Lord. And if you go talk to him, you could talk to him. But if you want to tell me something that you think's wrong with him, look, I got my plate full taking care of me. I got so many things wrong with me, I don't know what to do about it. But I just, and maybe once or twice, and I'm talking about after traveling a lot, once or twice someone slipped something out and said something to me that I shouldn't have heard. And I promise you, I corrected it when I heard it. I said, I wish I wouldn't have heard that, and I wish you wouldn't have said that to me. Listen, it's kindness. Why get involved in something you can't solve anyway? And again, you say, well, what will help me to control myself? Well, just take care of you. If you want to examine something, take a good long look at your walk with God and how much time you spend in prayer and how many souls you're winning to Jesus Christ and how many bad thoughts you have tucked away in your mind. You have so much to take care of, you don't have time to take care of everybody else's. Everything that I've said is all about kindness. Kindness, what we hear, what we say, how we respond. I think kindness is still a trademark of the Christian. God calls it loving kindness. Kindness is an expression of love. And for some of you men, let me explain. Kindness is not weakness. And if you feel like kindness is weakness, you have something against the Savior. Because he was the kindest of the kind. And that did not make him effeminate. You say, well, if you're going to be kind, you will wiggle when you walk. No, you don't have to wiggle when you walk to be kind. A person can be kind and be strong all wrapped into one. Matter of fact, you might want to be careful. Some of the kindest people you know, you don't want them to flare up. It's bottled up. Oh, but let me tell you. They shipwrecked, they swam to shore, and Paul said this: we were surrounded by barbarians. They were the kindest barbarians you could have met. He didn't know them. They were rough looking, but they expressed kindness. It's a sad thing when the Apostle Paul can compliment the barbarians about their great kindness. Would he compliment you? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here tonight, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I think when you're at work, when you're around your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, the church people, let's make sure we're being kind. We're being kind. Kindness. Kindness. So important. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, hey, brothers and sisters ought to be kind to each other. We'll have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need to work on your kindness a little bit? Something I got to work on a regular basis. Got to push the reset button every once in a while. Kind toward contrary people. Some of you need to learn how to not listen to gossip. And there's a kind way. You don't have to rip their face off. You can be kind and put the stop sign out. Say, I just don't want to listen to that. It's not my business. Hey, and let me tell you something. If they'll talk bad with you about someone, they will talk with someone bad about you. He said, they showed me no little kindness. It was great kindness from the barbarians. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, make sure you have the prayer sheets available so we can give them attention. Okay, have a seat, folks.